It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, up here on Signal Hill, where it is 60 degrees, and we're looking for a high of 64, sunny skies, west winds to 20, and those 20-mile-per-hour west winds are expected to continue overnight and until tomorrow night. Mostly clear skies tonight, too, with a low around 48, west winds again to 20. For Saturday, a 10% chance of rain after 4 p.m., increasing clouds tomorrow with a high near 61. Saturday night, 30% chance of rain after 10 p.m., then mostly cloudy skies, low of 53 overnight for Saturday night. Coming up on the Midday Report, our new COVID-19 update. The governor has added a proposal, an amendment to the special session that would allow for permanent fund dividends to be paid, possibly. And authorities have seized a shipment of meth and heroin bound for Bristol Bay. That plus the Chena Hot Springs Road arsonist strikes again.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. President Biden says he's focused on getting Americans out of Afghanistan by August 31st. Biden updated the nation today on the status of evacuations out of Kabul, less than a week after the Taliban overthrew the Afghan government. NPR's Asma Khalid reports the administration has been facing mounting criticism for the chaotic scenes that continue to play out at the airport in the capital.
The White House says the military has evacuated roughly 13,000 people since August 14th. It doesn't have an exact tally of how many Americans are still in Afghanistan. But despite reports of chaos on the ground near the airport, Biden offered this promise.
Let me be clear. Any American who wants to come home, we will get you home.
There are reports of Afghans getting stopped at Taliban checkpoints. The president says there's been no indication that Americans can't reach the airport, citing an agreement with the Taliban to allow Americans through, though some reporting on the ground calls that account into question. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
The Department of Defense says the mission to defend the airport in Kabul and evacuate Americans and credentialed Afghans as safely as possible continues. Pentagon spokesperson Hank Taylor says the military is also stepping up the pace of flights out of the country.
The airport remains secure. Evacuation flights are steadily increasing, and we are doing everything we can to maximize safe evacuations.
The Pentagon says flights out of Kabul have resumed after being temporarily suspended today. The military says it's also planning to maximize each plane's capacity in order to speed up the evacuation process. The Department of Agriculture is temporarily closing 9 national forests in Northern California as wildfires continue to burn in that region. Keith Mizuguchi from member station KQED reports crews are working to get the upper hand on a number of blazes that have scorched tens of thousands of acres.
The order goes into effect late Sunday night and runs through at least Labor Day on September 6th. Jeff Marcellet is forest supervisor for the El Dorado National Forest, which is already closed due to the Caldor fire. That fire has burned over 73,000 acres and still has no containment.
It's about evacuations. It's about stretched resources and our inability to keep pace with the fire.
Marcellet says they're trying to keep the public out of harm's way. He says once they get a better handle on the fire, there could be limited exemptions for people to get back into the national forest. For NPR News, I'm Keith Mizuguchi in San Francisco.
At last check on Wall Street, the Dow was up 224 points. This is NPR.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
Today, the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center reported 8 new cases of COVID-19 for the Kodiak Island Borough. 2 cases are close contacts of previously reported cases, 1 is travel-related, and 5 cases are classified as community spread. 120 cases are currently classified as active locally. There are 5 active cases currently hospitalized in Kodiak, and the emergency department remains busy with patients seeking COVID-19-related care. To date, 1,481 cases, 66 hospitalizations, and 5 deaths have been associated with COVID-19 for the Kodiak Island Borough. Residents are encouraged to stay home if ill, even if you have mild symptoms. Keep your distance from others whenever possible and wear masks where appropriate. Vaccinations are available in Kodiak. Contact your health provider if you would like to be vaccinated. Governor Mike Dunleavy yesterday added a proposal that would allow permanent fund dividends of $2,350 to the agenda for the legislative special session. Without that move, it was possible Alaskans wouldn't receive PFDs this fall for the first time in 40 years. The change to the agenda would also allow funding for scholarships and need-based grants to pay for students to attend college, as well as for the state's medical education program known as WAMI. Dunleavy is proposing to pay for this year's PFDs and other programs by drawing more than planned from the Permanent Fund's Earnings Reserve Account. The additions to the agenda by the governor, a Republican, drew immediate praise from legislative leaders across caucus lines. Dunleavy originally left funding for this year's PFD off the agenda for the third special session that started on Monday. He wanted the legislature to focus on his proposals to amend the state constitution to include PFDs and to reduce the state limit on spending for government services. But legislators said an appropriations bill for dividends and other programs was needed. Most members of both chambers have been opposed to drawing more from the permanent fund earnings than a 2018 law would allow. Dunleavy is now proposing drawing more than that law says. The House and Senate are scheduled to hold floor sessions today when Dunleavy's newly proposed bill could be introduced. Authorities say they seized a shipment of methamphetamine and heroin bound for Bristol Bay. And as KDLG's Izzy Ross reports, a local man could face a decade in prison.
61-year-old Naknek resident Kenneth Bruce Bishop was arrested and indicted on federal charges of possession and attempted possession of drugs this month after he allegedly received the narcotics in the mail during a sting operation. In a news release Thursday, state troopers said officers with the Anchorage Airport Interdiction Team seized 170 grams of methamphetamine and 50 grams of heroin last month ahead of a commercial flight bound for King Salmon. Bishop had allegedly arranged for an associate to fly from Anchorage to King Salmon with the shipment of drugs, according to federal prosecutors. Court filings say the staff of a regional air carrier at Merrill Field Airport discovered the illicit drugs in a Taco Bell bag during routine screening, and the airport's team seized them. Law enforcement officials say they secured the cooperation of an unnamed person who had tried to fly the drugs from Anchorage to King Salmon. That person then phoned and texted Bishop and told him the drugs would be mailed to King Salmon instead of flown on the plane. Bishop allegedly picked up the package at the post office when it arrived. Alaska State Troopers pulled him over in his truck and seized the contraband in the vehicle. Troopers estimate the street value of the illegal drugs at $220,000. As of Thursday, Bishop is in the Anchorage Correctional Complex. His next court date is set for August 23rd. Authorities say their investigation is ongoing. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
There was another arson fire on Chena Hot Springs Road east of Fairbanks early yesterday. Alaska State Troopers report being notified about a fire at a vacant home near Mile 11 just after midnight Thursday morning. The North Star Volunteer Fire Department responded, but the structure was a total loss. The burned home formerly belonged to one of the victims of another residential arson attack in Pleasant Valley earlier this summer. Troopers say a deputy fire marshal determined that the latest fire at Mile 11 was also intentionally set. It's the 9th structure fire along the Chena Hot Springs Road since mid-May being investigated as arson. COVID cases are surging in Anchorage again, but this time there's no mask mandate and no authority telling businesses how to keep COVID from spreading. That leaves some business owners in an uncomfortable position of deciding how much they are willing to confront their customers and employees to protect public health. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Hello.
You looking for Mark?
I am. In a strip mall on Diamond Boulevard is a shop called AK Bark. Mark Robikoff is the owner.
We've made a store that is a pet supply store that is intensely focused on Alaska. We have a lot of Alaska-made items here, a lot of Alaska-made gear.
Robikoff says when the city's mask mandate was in effect, his staff went the extra mile for safety. They took phone orders rather than have customers roam the store. Now, though, after consulting his employees, he's relying on the honor system, just a sign asking unvaccinated customers to wear masks. Even that, he says, has generated a tense vibe. People come in braced for a fight. Some yell and swear at employees. Robikoff can imagine what would happen if he required everyone to wear a mask.
There would most likely be arguments. There could be violence here. And we certainly want to avoid that at all costs. So we're really trying to ride a balance here between the safety of our customers and staff, the convenience and comfort of our customers and staff, and also really the safety from those people who don't agree with our decisions.
Robikoff is worried that publicizing his mask policy will cost him customers. He's also decided to make vaccination a requirement for new hires, and he thinks it's deterred job applicants. Employers large and small are in the same boat.
It's a challenging time to be throwing down gauntlets when it's a seller's market on employment, and people may say to you, well, fine, I'll just go somewhere else.
Jennifer Bundy Cobb is a consultant at Wilson Albers, which advises employers on human resources and benefits. It seems to her that smaller contractors are all waiting for the larger corporations they serve to go first, to lay down mandates that their client companies will then follow.
There's a lot of employers that would like to do something with teeth, and they're struggling because they don't want to lose people and they don't want bad press.
Protesters turned up when Alaska Native Medical Center required its staff to be vaccinated. Bundy Cobb says no employer wants to be the next to draw a demonstration like that.
Hi, how are you? Come on in. I'm Jen.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
To get into Salon Da Vinci in Midtown, you mask up and wait on the sidewalk.
You can also see is that each and every client gets a tote that has all of their tools, clips, their capes, everything, all sanitized.
Jen Bursch is not waiting for mandates, and she's not making exceptions for COVID skeptics. Everyone wears a mask. Even when case counts plunged earlier in the summer, she didn't let up. And she says only a few customers have resisted.
Sometimes it's more vaccinated people that feel like, well, I'm vaccinated. But I just keep reminding people, like, look, we are right in your breath line. We are right in your face.
Her hygiene measures are extensive. She leaves 15 minutes between customers to sanitize with a bleach solution. For the most part, Da Vinci's customers have reacted well. In fact, Birch says the salon has gained customers who want that level of safety. She's raised her prices, but not enough to cover the extra costs.
We're financially backsliding pretty much every month. But we can't close. I mean, like, what are we going to do? Like, what are the customers going to do? Like,
Bursch is comfortable with the choices she's made to adhere to safety protocols and lose customers who don't like it. But her business is paying the price. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Inspectors in Anchorage recently discovered more than 3,000 counterfeit COVID-19 vaccination cards in a shipment from China to the Port of Alaska. That's according to a written statement from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency yesterday. The CBP says the blank cards closely resembled those printed by the Centers for Disease Control and given to individuals receiving one of the COVID-19 vaccines. In some circumstances, the cards are used to verify a person's vaccination status, as may be required to attend an event like a concert, for example. CBP says counterfeit cards are becoming increasingly a problem around the country. Lance Robinson, Area Port Director of the Area Port of Anchorage, said in a statement that seizing the fake vaccination cards and keeping them away from people who would sell them is, quote, important for the safety of the American public, end quote. CBP notes that unauthorized use of a government agency's official seal is a crime. State biologists completed an annual survey of the Anoka Yukon River wood bison population earlier this summer, and they say the results show the animals are doing well 6 years after a seed group of bison was released in the area. KUAC's Mary Ault reports.
Biologists counted 103 wood bison this summer, an increase of more than 10% from last year's herd size. 26 calves joined the herd this year, the most the herd has produced since it was established in 2015. The survey also showed that the animals are in better physical condition than in previous years. Darren Bruning is a regional wildlife conservation supervisor for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He said the survey shows the bison are succeeding in the wild. Bruning flew along in the plane that took photos for the count. He said seeing a thriving herd of wood bison in the Anoka Yukon River area is a testament to members of the public who advocated for the reintroduction.
So to see them in the wild is almost indescribable. It's extremely rewarding, and I feel good for everyone knowing the bison are there.
According to Bruning, the herd's success in the last year is related to weather. The population tends to decline when a layer of ice forms on top of the snow during spring rains. That barrier prevents bison from accessing the food they need, so fewer animals survive. That wasn't the case this year, Bruning says.
The bison probably had more consistent access to forage, which led to healthier cows that were carrying calves, and therefore more calves were born.
The wood bison were released onto the landscape in 2015 after years of planning. Ken Chase represented Grayling, Anvik, Shagluk, and Holy Cross on the Alaska Wood Bison Management Planning Team. He said people who live in his area supported the reintroduction because they wanted to hunt the bison.
We just wanted to see something positive done, you know, with our area. We have no oil development, we have no gas development, and so we looked to the food source instead.
Despite the herd's success this year, biologists say it will be several years before there are enough animals to hunt. But Chase said local people are willing to be patient.
The main thing is just to try to maintain the herd and let the animals get used to the environment and how to survive.
Chase hopes the bison will provide opportunities for local people. Residents could get involved in managing the bison. Hunters from out of state could bring revenue to the villages. Bison meat could be processed locally. Animals from the herd could be transported to other places to reestablish wild bison. But mostly, Chase wants his people to eat the meat themselves. He's tried wood bison in the past.
That was really good eating meat.
For KUAC, I'm Mary Ault.
Five residents at Ketchikan's Pioneer Home died from COVID-19 during an outbreak at the nursing home this past week. That's according to the State Health Department, which runs the residential home for Alaskans 65 and older. Health and Social Services spokesperson Clinton Bennett says in an email that a total of 12 residents and five staff have tested positive for COVID-19 this month, and four residents were hospitalized. He said the majority of the cases are no longer active. Bennett declined to say whether any of the five people who died were fully vaccinated, citing privacy concerns. He said the overall vaccination rate for residents and staff is above 90%, but even with that high vaccination rate, Bennett says Pioneer Homes residents are more vulnerable to the coronavirus. As of August 1st, Bennett says 43 residents were living in the facility. Some 37 people now live at the state-run assisted living home, he said. State health officials wouldn't address the recent deaths during a regular call to reporters Thursday, but official figures show that as of August 14th, 7 fully vaccinated people across the state have died of COVID-19 this year. So-called vaccine breakthrough deaths make up roughly 6% of the state's 110 total fatalities in 2021. Vaccine breakthrough cases amounted to roughly 8% of the state's COVID-19 hospitalizations during that period. A total of 8 people have died from COVID-19 in Ketchikan, according to the community's pandemic dashboard.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Why do Bristol Bay salmon runs surge while other regions struggle? Some theories after this.
Grundon's new Deck Boss boots give you better grip, better comfort, and happier feet. Made in the USA.
Bristol Bay sockeye run this summer of nearly 66 million fish was the largest on record. But why that region maintains such salmon strength while others struggle is a mystery. Fisheries further west, for example, are seeing the lowest salmon returns ever. One factor in play for Bristol Bay could be water temperature.
Climate warming seems to actually have benefited Bristol Bay sockeye. Warmer temperatures, more food, more growth opportunity, and they're still in the sweet spot of the water temperatures that are profitable.
Daniel Schindler is a professor and ecologist at the University of Washington and a Maine investigator with the Alaska Salmon Program, which has tracked Bristol Bay watersheds since the 1940s. For 25 years, he's been researching the Wood River system, one of 9 rivers feeding into the bay. Schindler told KDLG in Dillingham that another possibility for Bristol Bay's sustained salmon success is the region's large and intact habitat, with its watersheds free of roads and other development.
That's one of the reasons Bristol Bay is so unique, is that all of that habitat diversity is still here. All of that genetic diversity in the salmon and the life history diversity, as we call it, is still here. And it's interesting scientifically, but it's also important for the fishery because all that diversity stabilizes how many fish come back from year to year.
Fish populations fluctuate, and the bay's sockeye runs aren't likely to remain at such high levels forever, but Schindler said he's optimistic.
If we look into a crystal ball for the next century and look at the fact that the world is warming, you know, there's no reason to believe that Bristol Bay salmon populations won't continue to flourish even under substantially warmer temperatures. Really, the question is how much more warming can these systems withstand before it gets too warm, like we're seeing, for instance, in California and the other parts of the Pacific Northwest.
Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement number 38, date issued 10 a.m. on August 20th. There will be a 24-hour extension to the upcoming commercial salmon fishing period in the Duck Bay section of the Afognak District from 6 p.m. Saturday, August 21st, until 6 p.m. Sunday, August 22nd. The Spearden Bay Special Harvest Area, also known as Telrod Cove, will close to commercial salmon fishing at 6 p.m. Sunday, August 22nd. As previously announced, there will be a 30-hour commercial salmon fishing period in the Duck Bay section of the Afognak District from noon Friday, August 20th, until 6 p.m. Saturday, August 21st. And there will be a 96-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 6 p.m. Friday, August 20th, until 6 p.m. Tuesday, August 24th, in the following areas. In the Northwest Kodiak District, in the Southwest Afognak section of the Afognak District, the Outer Iqaluit section of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Cape Alitak, Humpy Deadman, Alitak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alitak District, and the Sikkelitik, Two-Headed, and Seven River sections of the Eastside Kodiak District and the Northeast Kodiak District. The current commercial salmon fishing period in the Mainland District will close at 6 p.m. Friday, August 20th. Closed waters are reduced until further notice at Humpy Cove to the stream terminus of Humpy Creek, stream number 257701, and to the stream terminus of stream number 257703. Cost recovery fisheries have begun in Katoy Bay Special Harvest Area, and fishing opportunities in the Duck Bay, Iqaluit Bay, and inner and outer Katoy Bay sections will depend on the ability to meet KRAA cost recovery needs, and all cost recovery information may be obtained by calling 486-6559. Until further notice, in that portion of the northwest and southwest Kodiak districts, south of a latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. And other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart, detailed in Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. And statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour record-a-phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. And this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Good afternoon, and here is your Island Messenger for Friday. It is the 20th day of August, the year 2021. The sun rose at 6:45. It won't set again until 9:38. That will give us 14 hours and 53 minutes of daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 45 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 77, set in 1994, and our record low was 36, set in 1999. Currently a very pleasant 60 degrees, sunny skies. We're going for a high of 64 today, west wind at 20 miles per hour, and they're expected to continue to blow from the west 20 till tomorrow night. Mostly clear skies overnight tonight with a low of 48. For tomorrow, a 10% chance of rain after 4 p.m., increasing clouds tomorrow, high near 61. And for tomorrow night, 30% chance of rain after 10 p.m., mostly cloudy skies tomorrow night, with a low of 53. And it looks like a little rain maybe on Sunday. We have a high tide coming up at 2:01 p.m. here on the east side. That will be a 7.1-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 7:09 this evening of 2.5 feet. Over on the west side, and this is Larsen Bay, your next high tide will be at 2:24 p.m. and be 12.2 feet, followed by a low tide at 8:01 p.m. of 3.2 feet. Mariners, here's your forecast for Chiniac, Marmot Island, Sitkanak, rather, Kodiak's east side offshore. Small craft advisory through tonight, west 25, seas to 6 feet. And for tonight, west 25, seas 6 feet. For tomorrow, west 15, seas coming down to 5 feet, Marmot Island to Sitkanak. Over in the Shelikof, small craft advisory today, west 25, seas to 6 feet in the Shelikof, coming down to 5 feet tonight. For tomorrow, southwest 15 in the Shelikof, seas to 3 feet. A city advisory board position is available. The Kodiak Fisheries Development Association Board of Directors serves as a city representative representing crab processors on the Kodiak Fisheries Development Association. The KFDA is the region's eligible crab community entity. There is one vacant seat position for crab harvester representative with a term ending July 1st, 2023. Applications are available in the city clerk's office. For more information, call the city clerk at 486-8636. And the KIBSD and Public Health will be holding a COVID vaccine clinic on Thursday, August 26th, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. The clinic will be held in the Kodiak High School Auditorium Foyer, and the Pfizer vaccine will be available to anyone 12 and up. Again, Thursday, August 26th, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the high school.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
KMXT is supported in part by Orion's Mountain Sports, featuring equipment, clothing, and footwear for your outdoor lifestyle. Orion's Mountain Sports, located at 1247 Mill Bay Road. Hello, Kodiak, and welcome to the August 20th edition of Island Byways. I'm Pam Foreman. There's something about this time of year, that exquisite end to summer. The time of year we're all squeezing every drop of summer out of every day that we can. We know it's not over yet, and there's plenty of daylight and warmth left to enjoy, but in the back of our heads, we know autumn is near. On Sunday, I was with a lot of other like-minded folks squeezing the last of summer out of a day on Fossil Beach. I paused my fossil exploration for a bit, resting on a log at the base of a cliff. The lower beach was full of bull kelp and other seaweed, spent and ready to nourish gardens or wildlife. As I gazed at the sea, hoping to spot the spout of a gray whale on the horizon, something small caught my eye in the seaweed, a little head bobbing up and down. A bird of some sort. There were two of them, dark bills, brownish backs, white breast, white on the throat. They were in and out of the piles of seaweed, and so far away I couldn't get a close look. Unlike I usually advise, I did not have a pair of binoculars handy. I did have a pocket camera with a ridiculously huge zoom capability, so I snapped a couple of photos to help me identify them later. Suddenly, the birds lifted off for a short flight down the beach. The pattern on the back of the wings was striking. Brownish-gray across the back and part of the wing, black wingtips and edges, and a white tail with a black bar at the tip. Through the help of a friend on Kodiak Birders' Facebook page, I was able to identify the birds as juvenile Sabin's gulls, migrating from the Arctic and stopping by here in Kodiak for rest and a little chow. A first for me. Yep, I'm a bird nerd. A nature nerd, really. So while you squeeze out some summer this weekend, keep your eyes open for all the little moments nature has to offer. And that's it for Island Byways this week. Have fun and stay safe out there. Thanks for listening.